You're listening to More Than a Movement, powered by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin on the new 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome back into More Than a Movement, powered by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin on the new 1017 The Truth. I am Carrie Noni, and I am having a very powerful discussion today with Sarah Noble, the principal partner of Be Noble Group, Tamara Thompson, a doula at Maroon Calabash and an activist, and Angela Lang, who is the director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Now, we cannot have this entire discussion without talking about legislation and the government, because you know how that goes. So, Angela, I want to start with you. What role does legislation play in achieving the goals of reproductive justice?
It plays an incredibly big role. I would argue that we live in a society, whether we agree or we like it or not. There are people that make policies and legislation about how we should be governing ourselves. And unfortunately, bodily autonomy is something that plays a role in every single aspect, whether it's the governor and the governor calling a special session, or it's the legislation or the legislature that isn't holding the special session because they don't want to engage in these issues, or if it's the state Supreme Court that ends up having to intervene when the executive branch and the legislative branch can't agree. And so we see kind of all these different ways that these different branches of government are working interconnectedly around legislation. And I think it's important to know that who you vote for matters in making sure that people are voting for people that are supporting their values and the interests that they support. And I think a lot of times what we tell people is, do your research. You know, who are the people that support you? Because at the same time, you may not know where they stand on every single issue, but you need to have enough trust that they are going to support the vision and the values that you support. And I think a lot of us we show up to the ballot box because we want to make a change in some sort of way. And then sometimes we get disappointed when elected officials or legislators don't do what we ask them to. And it's important for them to hear from us, not just at the ballot box, but, you know, as we say, kind of seeing our vote through. We can't just vote on, a Tuesday in November and then hope that, you know, that they do what we ask them to. We need to be kind of a thorn in their side. Hey, what's the legislation you're putting up around this issue? Oh, you haven't had legislation. Where is that? Who are you working with? Do you need support? I'm the expert in this field. How can I help you draft this legislation? I think a lot of times people are intimidated by their elected officials. And let's be honest, sometimes we think elected officials are pseudo celebrities and we put them on a pedestal and we expect them to do all of these things. But really, it should be a symbiotic relationship. Candidates and elected officials need to get reelected, and we want to reelect people that are supporting our interests. We should be working cohesively together. We have different platforms and different ways that we can get work done, but people should be working together on policies that are actually uplifting our communities. And if there are people that aren't, then they need to hear from us as well.
Yes. And we also have to talk about gerrymandering. So Wisconsin has some of the worst gerrymander maps in this country. So what is gerrymandering for people who don't know, and how is it connected to protecting our democracy and our voting rights?
So gerrymandering is a way that the redistricting process is being able to be corrupted. We call it gerrymandering. Redistricting happens every 10 years after the census. There are new lines that are drawn, but gerrymandering comes when people are drawing specific lines to carve out specific communities in a way to give a slight advantage to one party or another based off of how they're drawing those district lines. And so what that leads to is, if we have really unfair and gerrymandered maps, then it really doesn't matter how your constituents or how people live in that district feel about a particular issue, because at the end of the day, you drew your map in a way where no matter what you say or what you do, no matter how unpopular it is, you will be protected. You drew yourself into a quote unquote safe district that you can do things that inherently go against the will of the people. And an example that I give all the time is that I believe it was 2014, what is time these days? But at one point, we had things like raising the minimum wage on the ballot in 2014 that has still not happened. And it passed in all the places that it was on the ballot. In 2018, we had a referendum for legalizing marijuana. that passed overwhelmingly. Again, marijuana is not legal in our state. And so we see people not listening to their own constituents and not doing the will of the people, and quite frankly, not succumbing to public opinion and public pressure when they should be listening to their constituents, because they unfairly draw their maps and gave themselves an advantage so they could literally do whatever they want and then know that they don't have to worry about if they're going to get reelected or not, because they have already given themselves an advantage. And so inherently that dilutes the voices of the marginalized folks, specifically Black folks. It undermines the will of our community. And then we see that if that's how democracy is functioning, is it actually a democracy at this point? If you don't have to listen to the people that elect you and you don't need to do the will of the people, then is that really seen as a democracy? So gerrymandering is incredibly it's incredibly terrible for our state. We have, you know, some of the worst maps, but then it also kind of explains why we continue to be in the situations that we're in, despite there being overwhelming support for some of these issues.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of people in our community today just don't trust politics or the government at all, because they'll vote and then they'll see that, hey, my vote, even though it was the most popular one, it didn't even matter because they're not going to do what it is they say that they are going to do. So is there a way that you think that we can fight against that injustice when it comes to gerrymandering and just them not doing what they say they're going to do?
Well, I think first, making sure that we're not taking our foot off the gas. You know, we have to let people know that no matter what, we're still paying attention. One thing that is very important for me as someone that tries to hold job is to get people to vote. We need to understand and not really, I think, lie to our community about the role of voting. Again, this is my work. I do it day in and day out. But I also understand that voting is not the silver bullet. Voting is not going to get us free. And we need to be honest about that. Mm-hmm. Voting is one tactic in our toolbox. And we need to utilize all of the tactics, including electoral power, civic engagement. There is a role, as I mentioned, there's a role for everyone to play. We understand that if you're still on paper here in Milwaukee, you don't have your voting rights restored yet. But there's still ways for other people to be involved. And so I think making sure that we're using all of these tactics, we're talking to people. If you don't have the ability to vote, how are you talking to your friends and family and saying, hey, I can't vote, but I need you to vote on my behalf? Or how are we engaging with elected officials? You don't need to vote to schedule a meeting with your alderperson, right? If you don't have the ability to vote, you still have representation and they still need to hear from you. And so I always want us to be very forthcoming that, like I said, voting is not going to get us free, but we also need to make sure that we're utilizing every tactic, including year-round organizing, knocking on doors, talking to neighbors about the issues. It literally starts at one block at a time, you know, whether it's doing a neighborhood cleanup to bring people together. And then afterwards, you do a little bit of a cookout and you're starting to talk about the neighborhood issues. It's building community. It's building these spaces. And it's making sure that your voice is heard in every single aspect. You know, because voting only comes around a couple times a year. We have elections dang near, you know, every 6 months at this point. But there's so much work that we could be doing in between cycles. And it also starts with education, educating people on what redistricting is, making sure people were filling out the census. Granted, these things happen every 10 years. So some people may not think about it, but we just need to make sure that we're showing up in every aspect, including voting, but not limited to just voting.
Yes. Tamara, Sarah, did you want to add anything to that?
Oh, I was just going to say that gerrymandering and other voter suppression kind of tactics, they happen because our vote does make a powerful difference. And, you know, so these things, you know, are not like happening just in like isolation and just kind of arbitrarily being pulled out of the sky. You know, something is occurring. We're doing something right, and it's being noted.
I agree. I think it's really important for everyone to be involved in the legislative process and for them to be aware, like what we were just discussing with Angela, talking about basic civics. That can happen in anyone's living room, gathered around their coffee table. That could happen at a park after a cleanup. There could be so many different places where people can just talk about that simple right that we have and what to do with it and how we pull it. And I know it can be exhausting, right? People are working 40-hour work weeks. They got to commute to and from. They got to take care of the kids. They got to study and hit those books. They got to get that degree. I get it. But there's always something in everyone's life that is heavily politicized, and we have to rise to that occasion and not just succumb to being manipulated every election cycle and looking at the ads and the attacks of the other and the mudslinging, but looking at, like, your sheriff is elected, right? The judges are elected. And if you should find yourself at the mercy of the courts, what process did you play? What part did you play in the process of the election of that judge? Or if you opposed the views of that judge, did you use your voice to say, I don't think that this judge should be sitting in this particular court in my area, and this is why? So I think it's really important that we talk about that. But also, there are the institutional determinants of health. We talk about the social, but let's talk about the institutional determinants of health, where people are spending their money at X, Y, and Z corporation, or they work at such and such system. They have a voice to go and say to their insurance company, I don't have this benefit, or I don't have this included in my package, and I think it should be. And there, the institution will have a larger collective body that can then, as a group, collectively lobby the legislators. And I think it's really important that everybody on the ground understands their power as a consumer to say, I will not shop, I will not support, I will not patronize this business if I do not like the ethics of that organization or that business. And that will have a response, right? Just like the bus boycotts, that will have a response. I want everyone to know that they have that power within them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I want people to know that them saying, oh, my vote doesn't matter, or how I feel doesn't matter, even if it's big or little, it 100% definitely does. It plays a big role. But before I let you all go, I did want to just ask you guys, well, you ladies, because you all are very passionate about what you're talking about. Why are these issues so important to you? And I guess we could start with Sarah.
It's so important because we need significant investments, like, you know, Angela and Tamara have been saying it throughout this time. We need significant investments in things like maternal health and postpartum care and paid sick days and quality health care and, you know, housing and all of those things. And we're not going to get where we need. We're not going to get all of the things we deserve to have in our lives without us engaging in the work to demand them. And I wish it were different, but it's not. And so I am in it because I don't want any more overlapping or intersectional effects of oppression for any people. So that's why I'm doing the work.
All right, Tamara, what about you? Why are you so passionate and feel like these issues are important?
These issues are important because this is futurism that we're dealing with, right? So just a little bit of biology. Every time a person gives birth to a female child, a child that has a uterus and ovaries and eggs, that person was formed, that genetic material was formed in the womb of their grandmother, right? And so the things that they're exposed to in that environment matter. It matters, right? So when we think about three generations down, I myself personally was born in 1983. My mother was born in 1957 when her mother carried her. That means when my mother was born in 57, there were the materials there for me to be formed, right? And the environment of my grandmother's womb affected me in the South, in Tupelo, Mississippi, right, in 1957 in the Jim Crow South. And the things that she exposed to, and if she rose to that occasion, and the things that they did to respond to that time matter, right? And so I want everyone to be thinking about that, that we're thinking three generations down. We can also envision seven generations down. That's why this moment matters. That's why the things we do and the choices we make and how we respond to things will absolutely matter. Power to the pregnant people.
Period. Angela, what about you?
Whoop. I love that so much. I'm really glad that you amplified and mentioned that, because I think that also means not only is our trauma passed down, but so is our resiliency as well. And I think that's important. I don't want us to forget how resilient we are as people. But to go back to your question, I think, one, like, this is my life. This is my future. This is your life. This is your future. That's everybody that's listening. This is our future that we're talking about. And Frederick Douglass said, you know, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. So if we want this future and to have thriving communities and this beautiful future that we dream of, we have to demand it. I tell people all the time, I haven't been organizing for the last 15 years because I think it's the fun, cool thing to do. I know colleagues and I know people that are like, oh, I get to organize and be a quote unquote good ally and then pack it up and go home. And then they don't have to think about these issues. These are our lives that we're dealing with. It's not a cool thing to be an activist or, you know, that's the way to make you look cool. This is directly impacting our lives all day, every day. And I'm not one to just sit by and let my life be, you know, voted on, legislated on, my body being voted on and legislated on when I do not have a say. And so I just am not built that way to just be quiet when something is impacting me that I don't like. And I'm sure a lot of other people as well. But again, if we actually want to fight for this world, not only for our futures, but like future generations, I myself don't know if I ever will have children, but that doesn't mean I'm not fighting for a better future for myself and for my friends and my other family members. And I think we all need to understand that this role in this world that we're living in, everybody has a role to play in this moment. We cannot sit on the sidelines. We are living in really terrible, devastating, uncertain times. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what politically the climate is going to be in the next year or so. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to not only preserve, protect, and defend our own rights, but to make sure that those rights that we are able to enjoy now are able to be enjoyed in the future as well.
Well, thank you so much, all of you. I appreciated all of your opinions and enlightening me with this conversation, because like I said when I first started, I didn't know much about birthing or even reproductive justice, but I'm so glad you guys really enlightened me. I enjoyed this conversation fully. So again, I've been talking to Sarah Noble, the principal partner of B Noble Group, Tamara Thompson, a doula at Maroon Calabash and an activist, and of course, Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Thank you all so much for joining me. I am Carrie Noni, and this has been More Than a Movement, powered by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin on the new 101.7 The Truth.